fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Pete Burak. Pete's the director of young adult ministry outreach called ID916, located here in Ann Arbor, but also spreading in different places around the country. Welcome back, Pete.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back.
I want to talk a little bit about what's on your heart today, but before you do, why don't you tell some of our listeners a little bit more about ID916, what it is.
Sure, yeah. So we're trying to form young adults, people in their 20s and 30s, married, single, with or without kids, to intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. And the way we've kind of gone about that is to work within the parish structure of the church and to come alongside parishes and provide resources and training and content and vision and language so they can lay a foundation of discipleship and evangelization. It's not supposed to be a silver bullet for young adult ministry in the church. It's not supposed to be the end-all, be-all, or we're not trying to take over young adult ministry in a parish. We're just trying to say, if you do these things, and we can help you do them well, then you'll have a foundation from which service projects and social events and all the other things that young adults like to do will happen. I mean, there's a couple things that are necessary for the strategy to work. One is an intentional focus on young adults. There's a book I just read recently called Growing Young, and one of the kind of the thesis of the book is you don't hit the target you don't shoot for, right? And they have all this research to suggest that if the parish or the church across any Christian denomination has young adults as one of its priorities, really, truly one of its priorities, and that it translates into the way it does its life as a community, then it'll have an impact in the number of young adults. I mean, fancy that, right? But it bears repeating that in order to reach young adults, we have to think like a young adult. We have to think about what would attract them and create strategies and structures to win them, to empower them, and to infuse them into the rest of the parish. And so, like I said, we can't hit the target of young adults unless we intentionally pursue them. And so our strategies are simple and yet complicated, right? They're simple in that they're not really that hard to put together, but they're complicated in that we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with a generation that it has a lot of baggage and wounding, and they're all over the place. And so kind of in the daily life of building a community, it's going to be a struggle. And so the three primary things we do is we want to build a leadership team of young adults because they're the primary drivers of building the community within the parish. We want to have a monthly meeting, which we call a Disciples Night. We come together for Mass because that is our best, fullest expression of communion in the Catholic faith, where we come to the one table of the Lord to receive communion together. Then we have a meal because it's something very scriptural about breaking bread together and building fellowship in that way. And then a talk on real meat about what it means to be a disciple. And what we love to do, and one of the things that we can bless the chapters with, is we broadcast a talk live out of Ann Arbor the first Thursday of the month, so our chapters don't have to feel the pressure of finding their own speaker every month. They have their own Mass, their own meal, and then they plug into the internet and watch live. And what we found is young adults, A, are used to watching screens. That's not a new concept to watch a screen for them, right?
Yeah.
And then B, because it's live, it's unedited, it's raw, it's a little messy sometimes, and they can tweet in questions, and they just know that young adults in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Missouri and Texas and Kentucky are all watching the same talk, engaging in the same content, and moving in the same direction together. So it's a really powerful night to win people, but to also cast vision and move people down the path.
Before I forget, something you just said a minute ago about intentionality and shooting at the target.
Sure. Yeah.
The ID, the intentional discipleship piece, is really, it's not just a clever way to talk about identity. It actually communicates something really important. Historically, what little young adult ministry existed in the church was often focused on social relationships, which is very good, going to an event, going to an amusement park, or doing whatever, going bowling, good
right.
stuff, really good stuff. But rarely is it focused on intentionally, thoughtfully, systematically helping each other both discover, understand what it means to be a disciple, and what it means today, 21st century, post-Christian culture, to follow the person of Jesus. And that's what, in the church, and that's what we want to be able to do at least once a month, to say, hey, we're not just getting together because we just want to be with young adults. We want to be intentional and keep raising up once a month, what does it mean to follow the Lord in your marriage? What does it mean to follow the Lord in the workplace? What does it mean to follow the Lord in your prayer life? What does it mean to follow in all these other dimensions? And if you're with other people, then you begin to hopefully be in small groups together, help each other, be accountable, learn more, that kind of thing. So the intentionality piece is crucial because we're not going to get there if we don't really focus on it.
Absolutely, right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we think that if we lead with fun and win them through like a fun event, then we'll be able to get to the discipleship. And there's evidence to suggest that that's possible. But we operate from a slightly different strategy where we lead with substance. We lead with vision, with mission, with calling. This is what you've been called to. This is who you are. This is what the Lord demands from you. This is what it means to live in a community. We lead with commitment. And in the process, it's very fun. And yeah, you enjoy and you develop real relationships. And then you can do fun events and all that. But we cannot compete with the world on the fun level. You know, yeah, it's like we can create fun events, but most young adults would rather just go do the fun event that they can do on their own. They don't need the church necessarily, yeah, to create a fun event for them. They need the church to help them know who they are, what they're called to, what it looks like to be in a genuine community with each other. And what we found is when we lead with substance, when we lead with calling, when we lead with the gospel, that's more attractive than actually come have fun with us. Right. And then all of this translates in one of the things we really want to see young adults do is get into a discipleship group. You mentioned the small groups. So men and women meeting on a regular basis in a small group, you know, 4 to 6 guys, 4 to 6 gals in their own time, in their own location. And then we've created content for those groups. So short 15-minute teaching videos that are on the basics of what it means to be a disciple. We have 2 series. The first one's called The Foundations of Discipleship. The second one's called Our Deepest Identity. And it pretty much just lays the foundation of what does it mean to think, act, move, relate to each other, build a civilization of love, extend and receive forgiveness, communicate, all those things that it's not really catechesis, and it's not really Bible study. It's more of the best way to describe it is discipleship. This is how a disciple lives. Mm-hmm. And so by coming together, sharing our lives together, chewing on the content together, and journeying with your men's or women's group, it's the hardest thing to do because it requires the most commitment, but it's also the thing that bears the most fruit.
Yeah, no question about it. Now there's obstacles. You know, you find in the world of millennials, in particular, some unique obstacles or characteristics. What are you finding?
Yeah, well, how much time do we have? There's a lot of obstacles. I think, you know, we're dealing with a generation that is cynical of established anything, established leadership, established institutions, mainly because they've let us down time and time again. You look at presidents and sports leaders and church leaders and everyone we put our faith into, even our parents, right? At some point, we realize they have clay feet. And it's not a judgment against these people. Everybody has clay feet. The only one who doesn't is Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But what has happened is we've become very hardened to that, and we've become very intro, like, my truth is what I make it. Because even though I know that's lacking, and most of the young adults I talk to recognize that we cannot possibly know everything, can't possibly lay out a foundation of truth for everything. Yet, at least I can trust myself. At least I know where it's coming from. At least I know if it fails me, I have no one to blame but myself, right? So that's a huge obstacle to help somebody recognize that, to make the gap from total self-reliance to entering into genuine community, Christian community. And the doorway to that is what we've talked about the rest of this week, or earlier in this week, is meeting Jesus and having a conversion and giving your life to him. I think the other thing we're running into, just to be honest, a lot of parishes that don't know how or don't believe that an investment in young adults is going to pay off. There's also a common perception that, don't worry, they'll come back. Once they have kids, they need to baptize them, right? They'll come back. Once they want to get married, they'll come through our church doors and we'll be able to get them then. And the evidence is showing that that's just really not true in terms of both in terms of weddings, those numbers are down, baptisms are down, and there's just not so much to think that the culture is not supporting that like it used to. Mm-hmm. And so unless our parishes and our pastors and our leaders start to really honestly assess the situation and realize that in 20 years, there's a good percentage of our parishioners and good percentage of people paying tithes and a good percentage of the backbone of our institutions who will be gone. That is just the fact. And unless we invest time, energy, and resources to this generation and the next one, the middle schoolers and the kids in elementary school right now, they're under attack as well. And unless we invest in them as well, who knows where we're going to be? And it's just, we just need to have open eyes about this. You know?
It reminded me of a phone call I got from my father years ago after Debbie and I had been married a number of years, and he's back in Minnesota, and we're here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Dad was very connected to parish life. We had schools, we had churches, we had all these things that needed care and investment, and he was, in the parish council, and he was involved in helping build these schools and work closely with the superintendent, just volunteered his time. And a lot of men and women his age understood the responsibility they had to be able to, that they had to help continue to help grow the parish and help. And so he calls me out of the blue one afternoon. He said, "Peter." And I said, "What?" He said, he was an old tank commander in Patton's Third Army. So he's like, "Peter." And I said, "What? What, Dad?" And he said, "I got a question for you." So what? He goes, "What the heck's wrong with your generation?" Now, that's when I was 30 years old, or 31 years old. You know? And I said, "Why, Dad?" He goes, "Where are they? They're not involved in anything. We occasionally see them come into the church, but they don't give any money. They don't give any of their time. And who's going to take care of the schools and the churches if they're not going to step up and do it?" And he said, "You tell me why they're not here." And I said, "Well, Dad, you got to give them a reason. Like, why? You have to answer the why question."
Right.
He said, "What?" He said, "What kind of a question is that?" He said, just like that. Yeah. Because his generation was, he came around and said, "Son, it's your duty. And if you don't realize it's your duty, that's a sign of immaturity and something's wrong." And I said, "Well, yeah, Dad, I get it." But somehow it didn't get passed very effectively in many cases from your generation to the current one. And so people don't have ownership for it. They haven't yet. And people aren't going to sell out for the church in this day and age unless they really encounter Christ. And they come to terms with who he is and their need for his salvation and his grace in their life and experience it. And that's the key, Dad. And he just couldn't get that. He, for the life of him, he just couldn't get it. So it's kind of related to what you're saying. Yeah. It's just continued to cascade, I think, up to the present moment.
For sure. And I think even for the leaders of the parish to recognize that even the ones who are in the pews still need the why question answered at a deep level, especially like we just can't assume that my generation knows why they should register for a parish. You know, like I would love for a pastor at the end of Mass sometime to come down off the altar and be like, "Welcome to everyone. It's so great that you're here. If you're a young adult and you don't know why we should register in a parish, I'd invite you to come in the back of the church. I'm going to be back there. We've got all these computers. We're going to get your information. We're going to get you registered because we want you to be a part of our community. And then we're going to follow up with a phone call and an email to welcome you into how you can plug in." Because I've heard it time and time again, why aren't young adults registering in parishes? I think primarily because we've never been invited. And most people think, "Well, why do you need to be invited? It's just what you do at a parish." But that's just the way we operate. We need to know why we would do it. And so if you have the low-hanging fruit in your parishes, to still think you've got the young adult, the young family, the young father, he's got a career he's dealing with, he's got kids that he's trying to raise, he's got a lot of demands on his time, to be able to look him in the eye, though, and say, "This is where we're going. This is how you plug in, and this is why we need you," that's a lot harder to say no to than just simply, "Hey, we really need you to be involved in the parish."
Yeah, it, as hard as it might seem to believe and understand, it's not clear to them what's the pathway here and what ought I to do, right? Because a lot of their parents, that's the generation. I'm the end of the baby boomers. Mine was a generation that started drifting away from the faith and being kind of disconnected. And so we didn't pass on to, many people my generation did not pass on to our kids the understanding of how these things work. And what the next steps really are. And I suppose by us, they figured it would happen by osmosis or if it was going to happen. But no, they really thought, well, they'll make the choice for themselves when the time comes. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? And so as a result, they feel a little bit lost in it and not sure exactly what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. If by some miracle, you make it out of high school and college with still a faith and you end up in a parish without a clear direction of how to plug in, you're going to drift pretty quickly. Yeah.
That's good stuff, Pete. Can you join us again tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Well, friends, I hope you've enjoyed the week so far. I encourage you to invite some of your friends. We're going to end the programs this week with another day with Pete. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.